It's so I come back to agile method. So I was saying that the manifesto for agile software development are 4 guidelines. So individual on iteration over process and tool, working software over comprehensive documentation, custom collaboration over contract negotiation, and responding to change over following plans. So what this figure can illustrate a bit what is an agile method. So you start from a vision, so the idea of the customer or this kind of thing. Even if it's not really well defined, you can start from a vision of the software, and you have several iterations to try to develop this software. So the idea is each iteration you have one loop. So this loop is composed of, oh, it's a loop, I don't know where to start, but I think it's start from here. So you start from the detailed requirements. So you have just define a few features that will have to be implemented in this iteration. And then you still have to do the design and the analysis for this particular feature. You implement and test this feature. Then you show it to the customer and ask for acceptance. Is this feature fit or not what the customer wants? You can also, if it's in one of the last iterations, you can put the software in deployment. But if it's at the beginning, you don't do this part. You just do the evaluation of what the customer found it's interesting or not, and prioritize again the feature, and you start again. So the idea is to have several iterations, and at each time you try to implement new feature. So you start with, I think, with really basic feature, and you try to implement each time a bit more features for the customers. And the idea is can continue a lot like that. So some example of agile methods. So there is the most probably no one is extreme programming. Maybe some of you have heard about it. And so it's test-driven development. So you just define what have to be the test, and you have to implement software that fits this test. And it's pair programming. So I will talk a bit later about pair programming. Scrum, I will talk also about Scrum, so I don't detail it here. There is Crystal, which is also quite famous. It requires less discipline than extreme programming, so it's a bit more free, but it still put focus on safety, efficiency, and habitability, so it's for user to have some nice working environment, something like that. You have all the open source process, so you probably have seen some of this. With distributed contributors, so it can be all over the world, and they're working on, I don't know, a Linux distribution or something like that, any software. So some distributed contributors all over the world, and also parallelized debugging, because sometimes you can get some bug reports from anyone, and you have to deal with that. So you have the lean development, which try to mimic what has been done at Toyota about the Lean project. So the idea, it's always a bit the same, but here the idea is make the focus on just in time. So you don't develop stuff a lot in advance, but you develop it just in time. By the idea is to think that if you develop it just in time, you have better chance that the feature fits the customer requirements, because you just done it when you have to do it. And you don't plan it to do it a lot in advance, and then when you need it, it's not really what you want. So just do it just in time. And the last one is a rational unified process. And this one is more use case driven, and also, of course, iterative and architecture centric. We'll talk a bit about pair programming. So the idea of pair programming, as the name tells, it's you have two programmers working on one computer. So you have here this image from pair programming. You say that if it's just one user in front of the computer and the other looking, it's not really good, but the screen has to be on the middle and they can share keyboard and mouse. So the idea of pair programming is you have two roles, so one drive, so operating mouse and keyboard, so still one have to use the mouse and the keyboard. So this one is doing the code, so it's doing the syntax, semantics, it tries to think about the algorithm. And the other one is navigate, so it just watch, learn, ask, talk, make suggestion. So it's really an idea that you have one who is coding and the other one is looking at him and saying, oh, you should maybe do this thing like that. And so this one can have a higher level of abstraction because he has time to think a bit about what the other is doing. So he can ask for the test, or maybe we should try this before. He can think about the technical task, so yeah, also about the algorithm, for example. He can ask him also check some, okay, not administrative, but thing related to programmation. So since how long we did the last commit? So oh, yeah, I think it's a long time you didn't do the commit. So he can ask him. I think, yeah, I don't know if you had the chance to program with someone else, but sometimes it's really useful. He just tell you, oh, you forgot a semicolon there, and try to help you also with the design. Yeah, it's quality, and it has been shown that with pair programming, the quality of the overall design is generally better, because yeah, the other one is thinking at this more higher level of abstraction, and he has time to think about it. So the advantages of pair programming, it's of course the code quality, so it's better. So you have better design because one can focus on the design while the other is just coding. You have fewer bugs, it's what I was saying, because the other one can tell you, oh, you forgot this. And when you are coding, you say, look, what you are doing is weird, you should maybe do it another way. So you can have fewer bugs. And so code quality is one advantage. And the second one is a spreading of knowledge, because if you make the pair switch regularly, you can spread the knowledge of the software around all your team. It's both the technical part, because for example, if you have someone new that arrive in your team and you make it program in pair with someone which is really well familiar with this particular programming language, you can teach him this program language. So it's work from the technical part and also for the conceptual part, because then they can talk together about the design and you can also spread the knowledge about the design of your application in all your team like that. You just don't have one guy who is the guy who did the design that know about the design and all the others that don't know anything about the design of the application. And the last advantage is the social aspect, so you have no loneliness, it's more you have more conviviality and better motivation, because it depends on the person with who you are working, but yeah, usually it's more there is a better conviviality and when you are working with someone. So it's also good for that. And now what about productivity? Because you have better code, you have fewer bugs, but is it productive or not? Of course, it depends how you measure productivity. Do you just count in terms of line of code, or do you count in terms of running and testing features? So it's a bit the same. So of course, if you are alone and you are coding a lot, you can do a lot, you can be more productive because you can write a lot of lines of code. But are these lines of code running? Can you have done the same with fewer lines? This is some stuff that's always a bit hard to evaluate. But if we talk about running and tested feature, in short term, productivity might decrease slightly if you are doing pair programming. So I think it depends on the study, but some say around 15% of productivity can decrease a bit. But in long term, productivity goes up for two reasons. So the first one is that the code is better, because you have better code. So if you want to integrate new feature, it would be easier. You don't spend a lot of time debugging your program when you have done the release of your program. So it's long-term productivity goes up because the code is better, and also it's even better if you consider the staff turnover. Because when you have someone new that arrives in the team, he can easily learn what how the technical aspect and the conceptual aspect of the project, and then you have a really better productivity with that. In extreme programming, they talk about the truck number. So it's the number of people that can be hit by a truck, and that the project continue to go. The truck number. So it has. No, it's the number of people that if the number of the truck number is one, it means that if one people is hit by a truck, the project die because this guy have all the knowledge. So the idea in agile usually in agile method is to have the truck number as close as possible as the team size. So you make try to have everybody has the knowledge, and it's to make the project die, you have to kill everyone. That's a much harder than just have to kill one guy. So yeah, about the pairing strategy. So in extreme programming, all the code is written by pair of user. In non-extreme programming agile team, usually pairing is not used at all. And I think there's a trade-off can be found. You don't have to say you have to do always pair programming. You don't have to do pair programming. I think a trade-off can be found. You can do pair programming from some particular task. So for example, mentoring new hires, extremely high risk task. So when you have really something important, you put two persons working on it. When you start a new project at the beginning and when the design is new, so you start a new project, nobody knows how you will do it. Sometimes it's better to do pair programming because two people together can have better ideas. And then you can get a better design at the beginning. And then when the project runs and you just have to implement some specific features, then maybe people can work alone on this particular feature because you know what you will have to do. And also when it's a bit the same, when adopting a new technology, so when you start working on something that nobody knows, it's also better sometimes to work in pair because I think this idea of spreading the knowledge is also really important. You just don't have one guy that knows about this technology, but you can make everybody in the team teach, learn this technology. So yes, you can do pair programming for some particular tasks. You can do a rotating or monthly basis, so people work sometime alone, sometime in pair. So you can change a bit, and also some developer also may prefer work to pair. So you can have some people in the team, like some people are crazy coders, so you can let them work alone because they want to work alone and code at night and things like that. But some other want maybe work in pair, so you can have both in your team. Okay, so now I will talk about Scrum, which is one of the agile methods. So in Scrum, all iteration is called sprint, which is just a name for iteration here. They say that one sprint is usually about 1 month. So it's kind of short because just one iteration is, they try to make it as short as possible. So I think they say that around 1 month is the good size for a sprint. So you have here the same scheme. You have all this iteration, and you try to reach the final goal. So in Scrum, you have several roles in your team. So you have one product owner. So it's the one who can be the boss, but you don't have to be the boss. It's the one who is, it's a single person who is the one who manages the final product. So it's usually the one who is directly in relationship with the customer. So he's responsible for the product vision. So it's the one who discuss with the customer and try to know what will be the final product. So he constantly reprioritizes the product backlog. So we'll see that later that we have a product backlog, which is in fact just a list of all the tasks you have to do. and he's the one who put the priority on this list and say this feature is the most important now, so we have to work on this feature, and so on. And he's also the one who accepts or rejects the product increment. So each time, at each iteration, at the end of the iteration, it's the one who say, okay, it fit what we ask at the beginning or not. And if it doesn't fit the requirement, they put it back in the product backlog in this to-do list. And if it fits the program, it's considered as done, and they can switch to new features. So you have the development team. So it's the idea of the development team, it's self-organized. So you don't the product owner just don't interact with the development team in terms of organization. So you don't have to say to the team, you are doing this, you are doing that. It just say to the team, you have to do this feature, and the team has to organize itself to do all the feature. So the development team, of course, negotiate commitments with the product owner, because it's at the beginning of each sprint, it's a kind of negotiation. So the product owner wants them to implement a lot of feature, but they say, oh, we cannot implement all these features, so they have to negotiate a bit which feature they will implement or not. So the team developer also has autonomy regarding how to reach the commitment. So it's not the product owner that say you have to do it this way. It's the team itself, which usually are good programmers, so they know how to do it, and they don't get some. This guy don't have to be a computer, someone from computer science. It can be a manager or this kind of thing. So usually the team know the technical stuff, so they are able to. They are autonomous. They are independent to decide which technical thing they will use to reach a commitment. And of course, they are intensively collaborating together. And the last role in Scrum is the master. So the idea of the master is just to facilitate the Scrum process. So it's one guy that, in fact, just helps the team to reach the final goal. So for that, he can help to resolve issues. He can also shield the team from external interferences or distractions. So if the customer come and want to see some demos, this guy can take care of that and let the team work together and try to avoid to distract them for working on the project. But he has no management authority. I think this is important, because it's not a manager that tells people in the team how to work. He's just here to help them and try to help the team to make progress, and if he can help, he do what he wants. So the project backlog, so it's kind of to-do list of all the tasks that has to be done. So on top, you have only one item at a time as a top priority, so you cannot put everything at the top priority, so you just have one item. And the idea is that the items on the top are more detailed than the one on the back. So here it can be some really vague feature. So we'll develop a Windows for something. But here it can be some really detailed. We have to put a logging thing. We have, I think, user logging. It's probably more concrete here, because and the idea is to have this one very vague at the beginning and try to define it more precisely and put them on the top as soon as they get defined more precisely. Okay, so this is the one particular sprint. So the idea of the particular sprint is here. So at the beginning, you have a planning meeting, which is really the beginning of the sprint. Then you have a daily Scrum meeting. So each day you have a meeting. I will talk about this meeting again. Then you have the sprint review meeting, so where you decide which feature have been implemented and if does it fit the customer requirements. And the last one is a sprint retrospective meeting. So the idea is to reorganize the team. So start first with the planning meeting. So the idea here is to negotiate which product backlog item will be processing. So it's a negotiation between the developer team and the product owner. So they just decide which feature they will implement or not. When they have decided which product backlog they will do during this particular sprint, they break them into a list of sprint tasks. So it can be still some huge feature, and they have to split it in some really more detailed tasks. So for example, for the logging, you have to add a text field to put the name, and it can be really more detailed here. And the idea, I think, is also to assign each task to some particular developer in the team. So then it looks like that. So at the beginning of the sprint, you have this product backlog. So you select a few, for example, these four first items, and we'll say we will do that during the first sprint. And you put here the four items, and you split it into some more detailed tasks, what it's called a sprint backlog. So it's again a list of tasks, but really more detailed, and each one is related to one particular item. So then the spring starts as soon as you plan everything. And so each day you have some daily meeting to help you to make the project run. So the idea, it's every day at the same time and same place. So usually each morning people meet at the same place, so they know that every morning it has to be there. It's a good because people then don't forget to be at this meeting, and they don't have to run over the building to find where the meeting is. So that's why they meet always at the same place. They try to make it as short as possible. So usually it's 15 minutes, and that's why people are standing up, to make it as short as possible. It has been shown that if people are standing during meetings, the meeting are quite shorter than if they are sitting. So that's why it's standing meeting. So they just meet at the same place every day and just discuss quickly. But the idea is to make it short, doesn't spend hours in meeting, but just make it short. So the idea is to summarize a work of previous day. So people just tell what they have done last day, what they will do today, so the work of today, and they also can discuss about the issues. If they need to fix some issues together, they can discuss it here. So the idea is to maintain the task list, so not the task not started, the task in progress, and the task done. Also to maintain the issue list, so they can have we saw this list of tasks, but you can also have a list of issues. And there is a burndown chart. It's all the tasks that has been done. And this, you will see that they make a graph usually with that, and they try to make it go down, because you have all the tasks at the beginning, and as soon as it has been done, the graph decreases, and they try to make it decrease as soon as possible to make more task as soon as they can. And yeah, the product owner may attend to try to help also them, but it's not an obligation, so it depends a bit of the organization, but it's not necessary that the product owner attend to the backlog. The idea is more the team itself that try to organize itself. So sprint backlog can look like that. So you have all the Comitec backlog item. So I say then it's split in several smaller tasks, and then the smaller task can be split in three categories, so the not started task, the task in progress, and the complete task. And every day they move it from, if they didn't start it stay here, when they start it they put here, and when it's complete they put here. And every morning they try to update this big board with all the tasks that has to be done. Okay, so once we are here, it's the end of this sprint. So some features are supposed to be developed. So they demonstrate the working product increment to the product owner. So they just basically show him what they did during this particular sprint. The product owner can declare which item are done or not. So it's the one who is in charge to decide. It's not the team that say, oh, we have done this. No, the product owner is the one who is in charge to decide if it really fits the requirement or not. And if it's not, they put it back in the product backlog. So we have unfinished item or items that have been rejected by the project owner return to the backlog. And the master also can propose new item for the product backlog. So he can say, oh, we have done this feature, but it would be maybe interesting to add this new feature. And they can add more feature into the product backlog. So the idea is to try to make this product backlog adaptive also, according to the product owner, what the customer requirements are according to the product owner, and also some new idea from the master. And at the end, after the review meeting, there is a retrospective meeting. So the idea is that the team review its own process. So the team takes to try to adapt it for the future sprint. So try to see what's go well and what's go wrong during this particular sprint, and try to fix it for next meeting. And here, it's the master has a really important role because he has to manage the psychological safety of this particular meeting. And because it can happen during the retrospective meeting, the team can fight between each other. You say, oh, but you didn't do correctly this task. And so the master here has to take care of avoid fighting between people and try to make everything smooth. The last thing here is the backlog refinement meeting. So if during the sprint they think that items are usually too hard and poorly understood, so we have put at the beginning of the sprint, we have put this particular item, but at the end when we look at it, we don't really know how we will do it, and if it's too large, so they try to, they just create an additional meeting, but it's not every day, but it's just when it's necessary. And they try to refine this item into smaller one and try to make some smaller tasks that they can really assign to developers. And here also the master can help during this meeting. Okay, so now just a few examples of the feedback to the team. So this is the one wall board. So here you have the task. This one is a bit particular. You have the task that has to be done. And you have the time of the day, so they just try to fit the smaller task into some time slot and say at this time you will do that, we will do that, and then they try to organize the day according to this task. So it means that they try also to make everybody leave office at the same time, but when they have done what they have to do. And this other one is kind of different organization. So you have each task here, and you can put the smaller items into each task and split it into several smaller items. And for each items, you can do that. This one is also a funny one because lots of color. So this is the product backlog. So you have all the item of the product backlog here, and they can put some marker for each one. So I think the star tells that it has been done, and they can also split it in some subtasks, and they put here some additional comment to when this thing has been done. So here it's written end of sprint 5, so these two tasks has to be done at the end of sprint 5. This one has to be done at the end of sprint 6, and so on. So they try to manage the project backlog like that. Here you have the burndown chart, so all the tasks that has to be done. So they try to define an objective with this line in the middle, and here you have the line of the task that has been done, and they try to follow this line and try to reach the goal. And so this was some paper, and wall on paper, a way of doing the wall board, but now more and more they put some screen, a really big screen, into the office with a software going on this, running on this big screen, and you have also the same idea here. You have the task to do, the task in progress, and the task to be done. You have the burn down chart here also, and you have even the face of the people that are in charge of this particular task, and they can manage the task like that. And yeah, so there's the wall, and you can also have some, now there is also some software, especially if the team is distributed, you can use some software to manage the same thing. And I think I have a short video to show you.
We believe that Agile is not just for software development teams. Agile is for every team. Jira Agile makes Agile easy for every team. Teams face challenges around getting visibility into their work and collaborating to complete work. Let's start at looking at Jira Agile for a Scrum software development team. To truly understand what the team can deliver in a sprint, the team will start by reviewing their past performance, as this allows the team to plan with confidence. When looking at the backlog, the team will select stories that deliver the most value to the customer at the end of the sprint, and the team will collaborate to gain a shared understanding of the story and to estimate that story. The team will then identify their sprint commitment and start the sprint. As the team works, they can easily update the board. They have traceability from every story to every commit. The team will track their progress during the sprint. Once they have completed the sprint, the team will start the retrospective, knowing exactly what got done and what didn't. We have now come full circle for a Scrum software development team. They are ready to do it all again and plan the next sprint. Kanban is for flow-based teams like support and operations. These teams start by visualizing their workflow, as this allows the team to stay in control. They can create any workflow that they want, and that workflow will map the columns on the board. We've got advanced teams covered too. For instance, swim lanes can be used to help the team manage their service level agreements. Team members can update issues easily while still on the board. Teams that focus on the flow of work can identify lead time and cycle time of issues and can identify outliers. They can also answer the question, how quickly can we get things done? Jira Agile and Kanban make an amazing difference to any flow-based team in an organization. Jira Agile has Scrum teams covered too. Try Jira Agile today and see how easy it is to adopt Agile, provide visibility for your organization, and collaborate to complete work.
Yeah, okay, so it's a bit like commercial video, but I think you get this idea. You can, what they've done on the wall board, they can also do it on the software. And I think it's especially interesting when you have a distributed team that don't work at the same on the same place. Okay, so I think that I can go to the conclusion. So we say that collaboration in software is of course necessary for big project, because you cannot develop really big project alone, but it's not obvious because you have some technical issues, how you synchronize what you have done. You have some organizational also and social aspect to manage, how you organize your team and how you make people work together. So for that, we have seen that we have some technical solution like version control that enable to synchronize the work of several people. You can manage several versions of your software. You can also do branching and split work between users. We have also, so it was a technical part, then we have now the organization part, so you can have continuous integration. So the idea is to test the software as soon as you develop the software, so it's able to improve the safety and the efficiency of the project. And then we have seen Agile Medal, so the main goal is to organize the team and to propose an adaptive process to unpredictable requirements from the customer. And I think I don't have much to say on collaborative development.